Hello, and welcome back to the poorly written podcast, emergency podcast. No funny business is literally in my notes right now because, let's just face it, it's absolutely a shit show so far in 2021.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, everybody!
Take it back! I find that offensive. Take it back. I don't want this anymore.
I somehow, you're like, oh, December 37th, 2020. That's exactly what it feels like. Doesn't even feel like we're in a new year.
Yeah, I somehow miss the days of 2020. It seemed also much easier.
Remember Murder Hornets? That was easy.
Yeah. Murder Hornets was kind of cute. You know, Murder Hornets, fall of our democracy. It's a hard... No, it's not. Murder Hornets.
That's just a nosedive at that point.
Oh my god. Things haven't felt right in quite a while, but we're doing this emergency podcast because,
well, what are we doing it on, Zach?
Oh, you know, the weather's been a little funky. What do you think we're doing it on, Hannah?
Well, you just said the weather.
No,
I know exactly what it's on.
I think we all know why we're doing it. Literally, the title and the cover, everything's just going to say why we're doing the emergency podcast. What is being called so far the Capitol riots, but what some of us are calling an insurrection attempt. The Capitol got stormed.
I'm calling it a raid.
I'm sorry, are we playing World of Warcraft now?
Well, that's what they were saying on the news.
You're not wrong. It was a raid. The Capitol building in the United States in Washington, D.C. got broken into, raided, whatever words best describe it. Most of them tend to fit. I wouldn't call it a leisurely stroll, but that's what the cops seem to have let the protest, not protesters, they're all thugs. Let's just put it that way. They're not protesters. I almost said that by accident.
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't protesting at all. They broke windows. They stole things. They were going through Nancy Pelosi's stuff in her office. This wasn't a protest at all.
No, the thing.
Just gonna get that out of the way from the very beginning. It's not a protest.
The thing that they were. I kept stumbling over my words. The thing that some of these people thought was rioting and looting last summer, this was actual rioting and looting. Like this is actual rioting, looting, raiding. Like this is the actual shit that they claim the other side to be. And I know we were like, we're done talking politics after the election, but this hit home to a lot of people. And I saw
this is a national tragedy.
Right.
I saw a lot of people online comparing some of their feelings, not comparing the event scale, but comparing their feelings similar to 9/11. Like, that kind of, like, gut-wrenching feeling that they got after watching the planes hit the towers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember when I saw that first, I kind of didn't get it. Because, you know, I'm a firefighter's son, and that making a comparison to, like, 9/11 kind of just irks me. But I'm like, yeah, it's just that gut-wrenching feeling of democracy under attack.
Right, you see the emotional.
It's equivalent.
Yeah.
I feel like it's hard for us to understand that feeling because we're all in our early 20s. We were really little when 9/11 happened. I don't know if you guys remember a lot of it. I remember very, very vaguely something bad happened.
I don't remember any of it.
Yeah, now, I mean, I remember bits and pieces.
Right.
The thing about... because me and Hannah are a bit older than some of the other people in here. The thing that 9/11 was is that we were super young when that happened, but now we're like in our 20s, and now we got an event that's kind of like not fully, but it's ranking up there in comparison to 9/11.
Right. Yeah, with that,
I think we kind of understand that feeling. Was my whole point. Like now that we had something in our adult lives happen, gives the older generation the same feeling. I think I get it now. I fully. Get it.
And not to take away from 9/11, in a little way, in some ways it feels almost worse because the threat isn't foreign, it's domestic. We could dive into the psychology and more feelings about that later, but we need to just get going on exactly what the fuck actually happened. I'm still processing it. It's been well over 24 hours, and I am still processing what absolutely happened.
Well, yeah. They did what Trump asked in the debate. They stood back and they stood by until he gave his marching orders.
That's a good way of putting it.
And really, for me, the past 24 hours, well, when it first happened, I was watching it live. I was alternating between CBS and Fox and CNN and C-SPAN, the one that hardly anybody ever watches. But in reality, when I first saw it, I just had three words come to my mind, and it wasn't what the fuck. It was just, I don't know. Like, in my mindset, I was like, I don't know what's happening here. It was, as we were already talking about, that gut-dropping feeling. It's just like, people really have that root of evil in them, and it's sad to see, because we used to be a society that showed compassion to one another, and we're able to be the ones that anyone can rely on for us to take the shirt off our backs and actually help one another. Now we see that there's a divide within society that's even worse than just a party line, but it's a party within a party. You see that party within the party is more sick and vicious and will do the bidding of snap the finger. It's like, hey, do this. Yeah, yes, sir, you got it. It's just sad to see.
This has been a long time coming, too.
It's been brewing like hot tea in a kettle on a stove. It's been brewing. The kettle finally whistled.
I mean, that's a good point. Is that, like, Mike brings up a good point. This isn't, like, something that just was spur of the moment.
Right.
You've been living under a rock and you don't understand anything that's been going on in this country.
Right.
I wouldn't even call it something that lasted, like, I wouldn't even call it, yes, the big stuff was brewing the past four years, but this has been, like, a problem that's been, Sarah, are you okay?
Oh, yeah. I think, sorry, that's like a pipe going off. I'll mute for a sec.
Okay, back to history mode. this is just something that's been kind of brewing in the United States, I think, for like the past few decades.
Without doubt.
Like Donald Trump gave, I think, like the far right, you know, a bigger soapbox, but if you look just throughout like, you know, American history, probably like, let's just say, stop at like, you know, the end of Vietnam.
Right. He basically gave them the weapons to shoot at the powder keg and let it explode at this point.
It was just incredibly heartbreaking. I really felt for my dad, because when he was a kid, there was like a coup attempt over in like Belarus, and he likes, he remembers it. So when he got naturalized as a citizen of this country, he was given a pocket constitution. And when my mom met him in college, he was still carrying around that pocket constitution, which is like worn to the bone. So I was heartbroken just as a citizen, but I think it hurt on a level for him that I'm never going to understand. Because, you know, he remembers 9/11 well, so he maybe had feelings like that too. And my parents saw the towers go down in real time. And then, you know, what he went through as a child and now seeing this. My dad is a very mild-mannered man, but he was so pissed last night. I mean, it was... I don't think I've seen him like that in a while.
Yeah, I mean, your dad, Sarah, your dad, he's a great guy, but he doesn't show anybody his cards, and I couldn't imagine what he was thinking, feeling, expressing last night. I mean, it was... I mean, it evoked a lot of emotion in people. I mean, like, now we're seeing, I mean, now this is kind of the after effects. It's like, now we're seeing people who are kind of, like, just supporting Trump because he's Republican. Now they're like, oh, wait, we don't support this. But I feel like, in a way, that's kind of like, well, too late. We've been calling it for years now, not, you know, months or weeks. It's like, it's literally been years.
Right. And Zach knows, and Mike and Sarah know this. We had this conversation last night where you look back at it and you're like, you signed up for the party. When you registered to vote, you signed up for the party because you're like, okay, this is what I believe in. And then you see some, you see one person really reshape the party, and then you're really under the belt. You don't really look at it until something like this happens. You go, this is not what I signed up for. And a lot of Republicans feel the same way. Zach and I and Sarah, we talked about this last night. A lot of Republicans feel the same way, where it's like they feel disgusted. They feel distrusted. They feel like they've been betrayed and they weren't really given what they had hoped for. And this was like the icing of the cake. It was like, this is like really wrong. And this is not who I am as a person. And now you're gonna see a lot of, not just Republicans, but even moderate Republicans, where I usually stand on issues. You're gonna see a lot of us, it's like, okay, where did we go wrong and how can we fix this? How can we be part of what's truly defines us as a person, what truly defines our morals and our ethics, kind of thing. And I've started asking those questions to myself yesterday. And Zach knows this, Mike knows this, Sarah knows this, where I was asking those questions and they were talking me through this, and I'm forever grateful for that.
It was just, it was a tough day for a lot of people. Some people knew this was going to happen at some point. I mean, I was paranoid. I'm like, all right, something bad's going to happen. And everyone's like, you're overreacting. And then yesterday happened. And I was always hoping that yesterday would never happen.
But I prayed to God it never did.
But here we are. here we are. You can't even ask how we got here. We know exactly how we got here.
It only took 4 years.
Five, give or take, depending on campaign trails and stuff like that, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
4-2-5. It's been simmering for about 4-2-5.
4.5.
4.5, give or take. That's the median number. Yeah. I'm bad at math, but that's the middle number right there we're looking for.
We all knew that something was going to happen. Like, this whole... Listen, I'm just going to call it this. The people that wear the MAGA hats and are, their whole personality is just, they love our president. You're part of a cult. You are literally the definition of a cult.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that something like that with these people was going to happen. I didn't think it would be this covered, but at the same time, I wasn't too surprised with yesterday. At the same time, I was. I don't know. It's very hard to describe how I'm still feeling.
I think the way I kind of looked at it, it's like, you know, I'm not shocked that it happened, but you're still shocked by watching it.
How it was 10 times bigger.
I was going to say the late night host, like, put it perfectly. A lot of them. They said, you can be shocked about what happened, but you can't be surprised.
Well, yeah. That's a good way to put it. I'm still shocked and horrified by what I saw, but I am not in any shape or form surprised. And I called it out way back when. People said I was paranoid and I was overreacting. And especially, you know, in Charlottesville, I'm like, there's literal Nazis marching down the streets there. And they're, you know, they're beating up other protesters. They're causing violence. And then they're like, well, there's violence on both sides. And now what happened yesterday, I think Charlottesville, it got referenced a lot yesterday, but that was just a huge, if you were living under a rock, even if you like if you watched all the Charlottesville stuff, you had to know something was up.
Yep. Sad part about both of these events, not just fallen, but sadly, people died in these. I believe the reports now are that 4 people died in the D.C. incident. Five now.
Including one of the Capitol Hill officers who lost their life.
It's so sad that it had to come down to this. And it really brings a lot of questions out. I know one example that has risen up within the past day is, you look back when we did the Black Lives Matter podcast episodes. And you look and see, okay, what can we learn from that? And what can we learn from now? What the hell happened? What kind of transition in security and reporting? A lot of questions, even from Charlottesville, then going into the Black Lives Matter protests from last summer, and then this. There's still a lot of questions that haven't been answered for 4 years that still need to be answered.
I think there's an answer. There's a double standard, because when you fight for human rights, you're going to get the absolute shit beat out of you, but when you lose an election fair and square, it's perfectly fine to try and go and cause a riot in a state, in a federal building.
Right. And then I think I shared this video with Zach. It was The Simpsons. It brought me back to a part of the clip from the when they parodied I'm Just a Bill from Schoolhouse Rock, and it was they made a song called I'm a Amendment to Be. And it has a video of the amendment at the end saying, well, congratulations, you're now ratified into the Constitution. He goes, okay, boys, doors all open. All these people are like shooting guns. They're all like dressed, they're like different bills and parts of constitutions, and whatnot. And they're drawing guns and shooting everything. They're going crazy. It's like they predict this in 1996. I'm like, and I watch back at the footage. I'm like, it's like I couldn't tell the difference. It was like a 10-second clip. And this was hours of footage yesterday. And they looked almost similar of how they approached it. It was sad.
I think we're kind of talking about how our reactions and stuff, which is fine. But mind you, yesterday, these people were basically let into the Capitol building. Because this is something I learned much later in the evening, is that there's two separate police. There is the Capitol Hill Police and the DC Metro Police Force. Mm-hmm. Two completely different police force. So you got 1,700 people working as Capitol Hill Police Force, and they let them in to the building. Mm-hmm. Like, there's video evidence of these cops just letting them into the building. Like,
Hold on, I gotta stop you right there, Zach, because something we also need to keep in mind during this. Yes, it was absolutely shitty that these cops let these people in, and it was a bad idea from the get-go. Mm-hmm. But something we also need to realize, too, is that the Capitol building is not a private building all the time. It actually is, specific parts of it are actually open to the public. So these people probably just waltzed in, and they wanted to go into a specific spot, and that was the problem.
The thing about that is that they knew there was threats of violence, and at that point they could decide to close a federal building if there's like a deemed like a credible threat. They could just close down the building when they want. I mean,
I'll give you that point.
They had more than enough warning beforehand that hey, something's going to happen June 6th when you try to certify the election results. And the captain, who is now resigned, was saying, oh no, it's fine. We don't need any reinforcements or National Guard or backup or anything. And boy, was that wrong. Very wrong.
They're expecting everyone to be orderly.
Pelosi said in her press conference today at 2:00 in the afternoon that she pretty much told him either you need to like resign or there's going to be hell to pay. And he put in the situation. Also, before we continue, I'm not a big fan of her, but I want to give some props to Nancy Pelosi here, because they went through all the stuff with the Electoral College votes yesterday, not to mention two bomb threats and all this going on. They recessed at 5:30 in the morning this morning, and this woman still held a press conference at 2:00 in the afternoon. Did not get any sleep. Like, and I remember I was watching this on our local news, and people were in the comments like, oh, she must be drinking again, she's slurring her words and she looks tired. I'm like, yeah, I'd be a little tired too if I've been up for 2 days.
She's earned it.
With domestic terrorist threats and people breaking into my office. Yeah, I'd be a little tired too if slurring my words up here too. So, but I just wanted to give Nancy Pelosi a little bit of a break. So the Poorly Written Podcast, we support you, Pelosi.
Not as much as Stacey Abrams, but we support you for right now.
you know what
situation, Pelosi, we got your back. Over.
We stand Stacey Abrams. We just give a little applause to Nancy Pelosi for doing the right thing.
Yeah, we
right.
do. You know, there's like kind of two kind of like sad things. There would have been Republican senators would have been objecting a whole lot more if this didn't happen. Like, for one, she just lost her Senate race. Kelly Loeffler was planning to object her state of Georgia. That was the plan. I think they were going to try to do like six states, and they only ended up doing two because
they were going to do all six swing states. They only ended up doing three. Georgia only had one objection. I think it was Purdue who objected to it, but since the representative, no representatives came forth and supported the objection, they just, it was less than 2 minutes objecting Georgia.
Yeah, I looked back at this because in the 2016 election when Biden presided over it, I believe Georgia was objected, if I remember right. And the procedures that you do an objection, a House member has to sign off on, the House has to sign off on it, and then a member of the Senate has to sign off on it as well in order for the objection to be presented formally for debate. And in 2016, I think it was Georgia, where a member of the House had signed off on the objection for that state, but they were still working as the debate was going. They were trying to get a senator to sign it, and Biden said, nope, that's not how it works. It's done. Guessing what happened with that is in that debate is because a senator didn't sign off on it, nor did someone in the House. Something in that procedure didn't be fully completed.
She muted herself. All right.
My parents were yelling. But the other sad thing, and there was a monumental runoff election that happened. We had Georgia elect their first black senator, and I think maybe like one of the first black senators to a southern state. Georgia elected a Jewish man from immigrants, and in the state of Georgia, those two things just in and of itself is absolutely amazing, and Stacey Abrams deserves all the praise she got, and they flipped the Senate blue. This was an amazing, Georgia was an amazing story this year. Georgia had not, I think, elected a Democratic president in 30 years, and someone to the Senate in 1992.
So it was 30 years in 2022.
Yeah, 92 would have been Clinton.
So it was Georgia was an amazing story to watch, and it should have been a happy day. In a way, we were supposed to get certification. Right. We were supposed to, you know, this amazing runoff story in Georgia took place, and it got no airtime. And I think watching what was happening at the Capitol was, of course, more important.
Right. But
it should have been this a story, and sadly, this amazing moment for the state of Georgia just couldn't happen.
Literally, with that. The only way I found out that race was called was I was watching the news feed on, I forgot what website it was, but they were doing like a live, like updates, like every 10 minutes they had like a statistic or they had some quote or whatnot. That's the only way I found out about it. I didn't hear about it on TV till 11 o'clock news.
Oh, that's weird, because I stayed on and watched ABC World News tonight, and David Muir, that was the second story he did, was
right.
The Georgia runoff races, and I got the notification, like, hours before that, so, like, it was known, right. It was just like, cool, but we got bigger fish to fry. We literally got people raiding the Senate and the House chambers right now.
And someone died from it, too.
Yeah, I found the video of, like, the full incident online. It it's all over the place, too, especially on Twitter and Reddit, where the security guy warned them twice, like, don't climb over the barricade or I'm going to start shooting. And she didn't even, I don't even think she got up on top of it or anything, and she got shot.
Yep.
So, yeah, that happened inside the other three protesters? I keep using the wrong words.
Hitters?
Not protesters. Thugs. Insurrections, whatever. Bad people. That, yeah, we'll go with bad people. Edit that somehow.
We'll figure it out.
I'll edit it somehow. They're not protesters. They're bad people. That's the word I'm going to use. But, you know, like the three other bad people died too. They started slowly releasing their information. And one Capitol Hill police officer died. The whole thing was nuts because it's like, these people, what really, I think there was a lot that really, like the whole thing, like, I was upset. I was angry. The one thing that really angered me the most was like seeing the Confederate battle flag in the Capitol right. building. The guy toting it around.
And, that was just.
And I never horrible. Wanted to just jump through the screen, punch someone in the face, and jump back through so bad in my life.
Because the sad part, yeah.
Because it's just, that irks me so hard. Never once during the Civil War or any other time did the Confederate flag ever make it inside the Capitol building. And then yesterday was the first time that it has happened. This was the first time the Capitol building has been breached by any sort of, like, enemy since the War of 1812, when the British came and burned it down.
1814, yep.
During the War of 1812, 1814. So a lot of that happened. You know, they, I don't know what else to put it at, as besides all these people should be tried for treason and terrorism. That's all I got left to say about the main event.
Yeah. I feel that, you know, people are throwing around coup, and I think the rioters planned it as a coup. It was more like a squatting or an occupation for like a good few minutes before the actual authorities came in, because they had no plan once they got into the building. Everyone was gone, the ballots were gone, and they just stood there like, you know, okay, what are we going to do now besides ransack all these offices?
I
think it's there, like, was the one image going around of the guy with zip ties, like a whole big bundle of zip ties, like he was going to take hostages.
Yeah,
they were willing. Like the 3%ers, all of them, nuts.
So here's my thing with this. I'm going to be honest with you. I hate doing these political episodes. You guys know this. Obviously our viewers don't know this because I don't talk about it. I don't like doing them. I'm a comedian. I like doing our comedic stuff. I like entertaining. I like relieving people of these things and just make them forget for a little while. But I'm going to be totally honest with you. I've never been more willing and prepared to do one of these episodes because this makes me so angry. And I wouldn't put this as intense as everything with Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just, part of me, like when this all was happening, I was like, oh, just another day in this past year, you know, since March. But here's the difference between the rioters of Black Lives Matter. I just did air quotes there. And I'll explain that in a second. And the people that stormed Capitol Building yesterday. The difference is the rioters of Black Lives Matter are not part of Black Lives Matter. And that's something we don't talk about. And it needs to be, those people need to be separated. The protesters and the rioters from Black Lives Matter are not the same people. The rioters and looters are people that don't give a flying fuck about the movement, and they're just taking advantage of the chaos going on.
Mm-hmm.
The people taking TVs from Target and Best Buy and all that stuff has nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. They're just the idiots taking advantage of the situation. Yesterday's situation was brought upon by the President of the United States at a rally telling people, I will march with you to the Capitol building and support our congressmen and women. That is a quote directly from his rally. So if anybody's listening and don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, go Google it. Our president encouraged these people to storm into this building and do these awful things and make these threats and just do this stuff. He told them to go do this. There were no peaceful protesters. Maybe there were. Maybe there were two or three. I don't fucking know. They weren't shown. A majority of these people got into this building, busted down windows, threatened people in this building, stole things. That's the difference here. People that were doing the fires, riots, looting, Black Lives Matter are not part of Black Lives Matter. The people that were doing this at the Capitol building yesterday are those people. They were encouraged by the man that is sitting in the Oval Office. That's the difference, and I think I know who's the worst person here.
Definitely.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because some of these conservative people and figureheads are like, it's like, well, this isn't any different from the Black Lives Matter protests and, you know, those people. I'm sorry.
So much different. It's so much different.
I'm sorry. Like, my thing is, like, I see that and I am so pissed every time I see that. It's like, it's no different than a Black Lives Matter protest. I'm like, people were fighting for their rights to live. That was a protest.
It wasn't people rioting and breaking into a government facility. It was people protesting.
It was planned as a protest.
Protesters and rioters. They're different categories. They're different groups of people.
I think the people who were actually like doing looting during the Black Lives Matter protest, those are just opportunists. They just saw an opportunity and they went with it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a good point you brought up, is because of, like, those are opportunists. These people, there is, mind you, not a single store got broken into on the way out of the Capitol building. Like, those people had one clear intent, and that was to cause as much chaos and disruption in the Capitol building as possible. And that's why I think domestic terrorist charges need to be brought up. Like, all of them, it doesn't matter if you were wearing the bear hat skin hat or carrying a flag or anything. If you were even on the property, you should be tried as a terrorist.
Right, and I looked into that, actually. I'm glad you brought that up, because we were talking about this yesterday. And there is laws against this. It's 18 U.S. Code, Section 2331, 5A and B. And it says in it... It says the term domestic terrorism. I actually did a project on domestic terrorism and the rise of it in media influence and all that in high school. I did it for my government class. So basically, So according to the law book, the term domestic terrorism means activities that there's two parts of this, A and B. So 5A is involves acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or of any state. And B, which is divided into three parts, appear to be intended, B, one, to intimidate or coerce the civilian population, two, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or three, to affect the conduct of a government and mass destruction and assassination or kidnapping, and C, occupy primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the U.S. I think that's kind of textbook.
It is textbook.
If you want a textbook example, just put their pictures in there. I'm sure that will make sense.
All you have to do if you want to know what the definition is, just look up 18 U.S. Code, Section 2331, 5A and B. Cornell University's law school will be the first thing that pops up, probably.
All right, Sarah, you had a point to bring up?
Yeah, I know someone who is part of this, like, Trump cult, so I was kind of curious to what they were going to say, so I called them last night it was a very short conversation because I didn't have the energy, but they were like, yeah, look at what Antifa's doing. And I was like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, that's the stupid thing. There's Trump supporters that are like, oh, this wasn't actually Trump supporters. It was Antifa people disguised as Trump supporters. Like, you really think they go out and spend hundreds of dollars on all that stupid Trump merchandise just to go storm the Capitol building? I don't think so.
You kidding me?
They're brainwashed.
You know what's funny? Is that the guy who had the bear skin hat and the flag and all the tattoos and face painting and stuff, he came out and said he was mad because people were calling him Antifa from within the Trump cult. And he was so mad. He's like, I'm not Antifa. I'm a proud patriot. I'm part of MAGA. What makes you think I'm sort of, you know, it's just a huge rant.
Wouldn't want to be part of either one, to be honest.
It's like, I'm like, good job outing yourself to the FBI, which I'm sure will definitely do their jobs. Wink, wink.
That should have gone and registered with the mental institution party.
They needed to line up the street, because I've been to DC a few times, and they have food trucks lined up not too far away from the Capitol building. Just line up trucks, but get a bunch of straitjackets for people, because they're absolutely fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine talking to a Trump supporter right now. Like, I'm like, most of my family, like, some of my family is Republican, but they're like, they were never for Trump. So seeing this, they're like, wow. They were in complete shock. But I couldn't imagine talking to Trump supporter. Mind you, I do have family members who are Trump supporters. I have not talked to a single one since the election happened.
Right. I've tried.
And I'm like, I'm the only person who I've talked to, like, is my dad. And he, I avoided him today because I did not want to get into politics, because that was going to be the first thing he wanted to talk about. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I've tried. And they're stuck to that belief. It's so sad because outside of before, I've known these, some of these people before the Trump presidency, and I know that they've been good people, but they've fallen into this mentality, and it's so, it's addictive, and it's not
disgusting.
It's vile, and it's sad, and you see this. I sadly see this within the religious base, within Christianity, and it's just so sad because
it's
so much hatred there, and they claim to be of faith, and they're spewing nothing but hate and vile remarks, and deep down, I pray for these people. I still do. I still do.
And people are saying that Jesus would have been at this protest. Jesus would have been there. Jesus would not have been there. During when he was in the when he was awaiting execution to Romans, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane asking it for his followers to wait to pray. He was humbling himself before his apostles, washing their feet, normally what a slave would do. He humbled himself. He talked to people, lepers, you know, people who are ill, tax collectors who at the time were considered the most vile class of people. He talked to all of them. He was peaceful.
And at the end of the day,
them to just twist Christianity like this, hopefully people start to wake up and actually do a good reckoning, because it's hard to sometimes call myself a Christian nowadays.
So
And I'll put more of those the final thoughts later.
We're getting close to final thoughts, but Hannah, do you have something before we go jump?
Yeah, around? I just want to say really quick, I'm not a religious person, by any means, but Mike, I just want to say, like, I think everybody else, like, in this episode right now, you can hear, like, the hurt in Mike's voice right now, just telling that story. So, like, I apologize to you that people are pulling Jesus into this, because I know you are a religious person, you're Christian. That's gotta fucking hurt. So I'm apologizing for these other people, I guess, but I'm very sorry that, like, your religion is being pulled into it, because that's not fair. And I'm almost sure that Jesus would have not been at the Capitol building. But don't listen to those people. That's fucking bullshit.
I'm gonna take a wild guess on where Jesus would have been this past year. He would have been at the Capitol building. I think he would have been one of the people who got pepper sprayed and beaten during Black Lives Matter versus the Capitol building. That's my take, with no religious input in my life whatsoever, and always having Christianity being forced upon by relatives who I will not name, but.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm sorry to you and Lewis, because I know you both are pretty religious.
Yes, Lewis. I didn't try to leave you out of my apology, but, like, Mike broke my heart a little bit, so I had to jump in.
I just want to say Mike.
Hug your mics right now.
I just want to say that the majority of people know most Christians are not like what we saw, like, not like what people are saying who brought Jesus in. I'm not really all that religious, and when I do religion, I'm Jewish, so, like, I don't know what that's like for you. And the fact that religion and Christianity has been brought so much into this presidency to spew some of the hate that Donald Trump has been spewing is heartbreaking for me to watch, so I can't even imagine what that's like for you too. So I feel bad, and know that most Christians are not like what we saw yesterday.
I think that's a good note to kind of lead on, is that this is just what we saw yesterday was like not what the U.S. is, but it's also part of the U.S. And I think that's something we need to keep in mind. It's like this is not a total representation, but this is part of who we are. And we clearly have an issue. We have multiple issues in this country when it comes to, these people become radicalized at this point. You can't talk sense into them. They don't want to hear sense. They don't want to hear truths. They want to hear what they want to hear. Rather, that is, you know, Donald Trump saying all these, you know, lies and misinformation and stuff like that, because he's hurt plenty of people before. Mm-hmm. And now this is just, you know, like Lewis said, the kettle's kind of boiled at this point. It's boiling over.
It's whistling.
It's spilt over. Yeah.
And, you know, everybody takes notice. I mean, like, I don't know how this would have not been unnoticed beforehand. Like, you know, within the past 4 years, how the red flags weren't there. I mean, some people were like, this is truly shocking. And I'm like, you did not see this coming? This is one of my worst fears. And it came true. And we're only yesterday we were only 6 days into 2021.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is one thing I want to mention. There is one Republican senator who I do think has done the right thing consistently, which is Mitt Romney, and I disagree.
Grandpa Rodney.
Like, look, I don't like him, but he was the only Republican to vote to impeach Trump, and he was so angry. I like the speech he gave during objections, where he's saying you're lying to your voter constituency. I like how, and you know, Cruz and Hawley, Senator Cruz and Hawley should be ashamed. Like, look, I think Mitt Romney has voted on some things that I vastly disagree with, but I think he has the most integrity out of all the Republican senators.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so even though I disagree with him, I have more respect for him than I do Mitch McConnell or Lindsey Graham, who are like kind of trying to scramble. Mm-hmm. Last night, like, mm-hmm. hopping ship, because they wouldn't even admit concession until like a month in.
Yeah.
Here's the great thing about Romney. Everything that you said, like, was very spot on. I wanted to bring that point up as well, but it's kind of like what Lewis said earlier. Like, you pick a side, and then you become ashamed of like what it becomes like when it flips the way it has the last 5 years. I'm going based off when Trump announces his bid for president. But Romney also sticks to his own personal views. He's not one of those ones that's like piggybacking off what the president says just because he's Republican. He's still going based off how he feels personally. And I gotta respect that. I'm not a big fan of Romney. There's a lot of his views that I really didn't like, especially when he ran for president in 2012. But he sticks to what he personally feels, and he's not just sticking with a party just because he's registered under that party or he represents that party. He mm-hmm. still is expressing his own opinion, and I respect the ever-loving shit out of that. John McCain did the same thing too. May he rest in peace. Honestly, anybody on the political spectrum like that, I take pride in that. I'm a centralist leaning libertarian. Mostly libertarian. But I still agree with the Republican side and the Democrat side. I'm based on what I believe morally is right or wrong, and that's why I like Romney, because he has been doing that the last few years, and I gotta give him props, especially during the impeachment process and right now. So pats on the back for Mitt Romney, honestly.
Let me kick off our final thoughts with first of all, fuck Ted Cruz.
Fuck him and Josh Hawley.
Yeah, pretty much any senator or congressperson who still objected after they got back in. First of all, if they're somehow listening to this, or their fans are listening to this, fuck you. There should have been no more objections last night after what happened. Like, what was it? One of them made a comment, I think it was Howley. He's like, aren't you glad we didn't defund the police? You're glad today. And I've been like, oh, I would have gone up to the podium and punched him in the face if I was there, but that's why I am not there.
That's why you're a host on a podcast.
That's why I'm hosting a podcast from the office.
Not a senator.
Not a senator or a congressperson.
That's why you're here, not in a jail cell.
That's also why I'm not in a jail cell. I'd be very curious to do a podcast from a jail cell, but the point being is, like, seriously, if you still think there's something wrong with the elections, it is far too late. Everything has been thrown out at this point. Your Hail Mary was that Mike Pence would, like, defect to Trump, but he didn't. For once in his life, Mike found the courage to stand up to someone that, you know, wasn't his mother, so I'm glad for him. He found some backbone. Not a lot, but he found just enough to be like, nope, we're gonna do this as is, just like before, and that's too bad.
And for, yeah, fortunately, as of like right now, like within the last hour, he did object putting the 25th Amendment in place. Unfortunately, I saw it coming. I don't know about you guys, but I knew.
I think he was bored. He did call the cabinet meeting, so I think he was just waiting.
Yeah, I'll give him that. But
he,
yeah,
he was weighing options, but Congress.
But with 2 weeks away from the inauguration, is like even the even if they impeach Trump, it's kind of a long shot.
I don't know. I feel like it's 50-50. They're either going to do it or not. They already have the articles drafted at this point. They're going to present them, I believe, tomorrow when they reconvene.
You know what? Even if he does get impeached or if he doesn't get impeached, he's going to face criminal charges for multiple things besides this if he does. But either way, like, Trump's going to get a lot of karma after inauguration.
Yeah, when it's January 21st, whatever happens to him will not surprise me. He's going to get everything he deserves his way and more. I mean, that's just how it's going to be.
On that day, it'll be like, Southern District of New York, come do your thing.
I know there were some rumors. I'm trying to finish up my final thoughts. I know there's rumors about him trying to pardon himself. But first of all, Donnie, you have to be charged with a crime first. You can't just get an all expense paid, get out of jail free card. You can't do that when you haven't been indicted yet.
You know what's the nice thing about all these presidential pardons right now, though?
I don't know. He's handing them out like hot potatoes. Like, hey, you
want to pardon? Sure. But listen, though. It's a good thing. And I know it sounds crazy, but hear me out, guys. I got talking about it with my father the other day. I'm like, man, he's just pardoning these people left and right. Like, how does that not look suspicious? My dad's like, I don't know. I think it's a good idea. And I looked at him like, you got two heads, because my dad hates Trump. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, his ass is going to be grass after inauguration. I'm like, I don't know. Like, if all these people are getting pardoned, like, there's really nothing they can go off of. But with all the charges that Trump has coming, and if these people are pardoned, there is rules that if you are presidentially pardoned, like, obviously you're scot-free. You can't get criminally charged, but part of being pardoned is that when you have to take the stand. Like, it's not an option. Like, no. If Trump with something, these men have to take the stand in these specific charges, and they have to tell the truth because they're sworn under oath. So they have to tell the truth, even though they're not going to get in trouble. So, like, Trump is digging himself a grave with every person he pardons.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking pardoning Roger Stone. That's the first one that came to mind. Instead of people like, yeah, Joe Exotic. I mean, come on, let's use some common sense here.
No, we can keep Joe Exotic in prison. Thank you.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to have Roger Stone versus Joe Exotic.
Oh my god.
Come on.
Oh no.
We know which one we're picking. We know which one we're picking. Unless you're that Mitch Carroll Baskins.
some brevity.
Is there any other final thoughts? Going once.
I can go before Lewis.
Twice. Oh, Hannah has the floor. I wish I had a gavel. I need a gavel. That's for season two. It's like,
no,
Zach gets a gavel.
No. No.
So I can get more noise complaints.
Let Hannah speak, Zach.
Thanks, Fontana. Here's the thing. I got talking with a buddy earlier today about doing this particular episode. And I was telling him, like I said earlier, like, I don't like doing these political episodes because, like, what is this expressing my opinion on a podcast gonna change? And he made a point, like, you know, I see this all the time on social media and, like, other entertainment outlets like you guys. Not saying, wasn't throwing us under the bus or anything, saying that we do this, but like just as an example, people will be online and they'll be like, man, this really happened. I'm really upset about it. I'm angry about this. Okay. Yeah. You're angry about it. So is everybody else. You're expressing your opinion and that you're upset. What are you going to do about it? Like, your opinion needs to have facts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It just needs to, like, stand out. You know what I mean?
Your words need to have meaning behind them, I think is what.
Yes. We can't just sit around and complain, like, oh, this really sucks that this is happening. Like, what the fuck are we going to do about this? What are we going to say and what are we going to do to make this different, to make an impact and make things change? Because things need to fucking change. They should have changed 5 years ago. These things shouldn't even be happening. Because mm-hmm. 2016. This is the most political I've ever been on this podcast. I'm very bad. I'm upset, guys. I'm really fucking upset with everything that's going on. And I think all of my aggression with the last year and a half, 2 years is just pouring out. So I apologize. But we can't keep moaning and groaning mm-hmm. about being upset about these things happening without doing something about it. And this applies to like this situation, Trump getting impeached and like all these other things he's going to get charged with, Black Lives Matter. Don't get me wrong. We did stuff about Black Lives Matter. We're still doing it. Can we still arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor, by the way? Just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, no, we're still working. They got fired, but we still need to.
Oh, they still need to be arrested. I just want
charged and thrown in jail, and we throw away the key. We're still working on that. The law fucking sucks in this country. But anyways, you're
going to express your opinion, and you're going to use your platform. Do something about it. Don't just whine and complain. We're going to do something about it. That's mostly what I have to say. I know that was a little bit of a tangent. It really didn't go anywhere, but that's how I feel. And
I mean, what? We've never been to put our money where our mouths are, and I think we'll talk about this way later after the episode, but we're going to find ways to kind of help mm-hmm. out and make things better and heal bridges and stuff. But is there anybody else? I know Lewis had something to say, but is there anyone else?
Like, the thing that makes me so mad was that this, I don't even feel as if this is a political episode. But it is, but I don't feel that way because I feel I posted on Facebook about politics, and if you follow my Facebook, it's rare that I do that.
It's rare, like, you post some boomer book, but yes, anyways, continue.
Yeah, so it's rare I post anything. But anyway, I posted something, and I said, this is not political. This is an attack on our democracy. And that's what this was. It was an attack.
Absolutely.
On an elected president. And he was elected. This was the safest election in our history, according to Homeland Security. There was almost no evidence. There was no evidence of voter fraud and no irregularities, no widespread, you know. So this was a legitimately elected vice president in Joe Biden and vice president in Kamala Harris. So this was a farce. This was a farce that Trump and Republican senators were backing. They were telling these lies to their constituents. So of course this was going to happen. When you're telling seventy million plus people that, hey, your vote meant shit, of course this will happen because they believe what this man says. And he was fueling the fire. You had Senators Ted Cruz, John Hawley, Kelly Loeffler, David Perdue fueling this fire, saying, yeah, your vote didn't count. And they wonder why voter turnout was down in Georgia. You said their vote didn't count. Of course they're not going to turn up. And then this happens? Of course this happens. They don't think their vote counted. It did count. It just didn't swing their way this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for getting heated.
I think we're all...
No, we're either
sad or heated or angry or frustrated or...
For all of the above.
Generally, I think we're all pissed off. You know, not in the way of like, oh, that pissed me off. Like, we're the very calm, pissed off. where you no, we're not gonna bitch about it. We're gonna go do something about it, but we're gonna get this out now before we kind of forget how this feels. Is there anybody else before Lewis goes?
No, I'm good.
Because I'll let Lewis go, and then I got some closing remarks, if you will.
All right. So before I start, Hannah, I know that you're a centrist libertarian. So with that, I'm pretty sure Ron Paul would be absolutely proud of you for speaking up today. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that.
We all do. He's like
a cute little old man.
He's still with us, thank goodness.
Oh yes, thank God 2020 didn't take Ron Paul.
Anyways, with it, Zach, Mike, and Sarah heard this yesterday, so I'm going to repeat it again, because Hannah didn't hear this yesterday.
He got the receipt.
For years, I grew up in I still do. I grew up in a very conservative household, religious household. My dad's a pastor. So you really don't understand much about how deep Republican Party goes. I'm a Republican. People know this. I'm a moderate Republican, but I register as a Republican. And for years, I never knew that the party would run so deep, so poorly, so words to go with. And there's been times where I felt that within that narrow-mindedness, I felt ignorant to people because of where I stood on issues. And so if any of those people are hearing me right now, I apologize for that. I realize now, especially after yesterday, that the party within the party, I don't call it the Republican Party within the Republican Party, I call it the Trumplican Party within the Republican Party. And I realize now that even more that I don't embody what the party's become. And it was tough to say that yesterday, and it still is, to go over that, because essentially what I'm, even though I really do lean conservative on things, I don't embrace the party anymore. And I don't really want to put a party next to my name anymore after that. And it leads me to this quote from George Washington in his farewell address in 1796 into 1797. And it talks about parties and evil intent that can come out of it. So I'm going to finish off with that quote before I wrap up. And he says in his farewell address, quote, I have already intimated to you the danger of parties in the state, with particular reference to the founding them on geographical discriminations. Let me now take a more comprehensive view and warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party generally. This spirit, unfortunately, is inseparable from our nature, having its root in the strongest passions of the human mind. It exists under different shapes in all governments, more or less stifled, controlled, or repressed, but in those of the popular form, it is seen as the greatest rankness and is truly their own worst enemy. And basically, further on in the speech, he talks about how parties essentially try to cancel each other out and go for revenge plot, essentially. And that's why I don't really go with parties anymore. And I see this within both parties now. And moving forward, the only party that I want to be focusing on is the morally right party. What party stands out to my views? Not Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent, Green Tea Party, whatever party you want to put under there. The party that I want to be part of is the morally and ethically right party. What do I do as a person that I know I can back behind? Whose rights I stand up for and say, yes, I fight for you? And yesterday I was telling Zach, Mike, and Sarah this, that I stand up for Black Lives Matter. I stand up for their rights. I stand up for LGBTQ plus rights. And I realize now that I have more to do and to get in that fight. I'm ready to take that next step as a person. Because now I'm learning that there's more to the world than just the narrow window. And yesterday's events showed me that I have to open up more. And that's what I'm going to do from here on out. And if it requires me to lose contact with people I know, help me. So help me God, that's what it will be. With that, I pass it on to whoever.
I think we should wrap this up. We could go on hours and hours and hours and hours.
That was very good, Lewis.
It was very good. We could go on hours and hours. Did I mention hours and hours already, or am I going on for hours and hours?
You are.
Hours and hours.
The way I want to close this is that, you know, we don't like to do very serious stuff, but it is important, and I think it helps improve. It helps improve our quality of episodes too. Is that like we can be serious about things that happen in our country, in our communities, in our backyards, even. Because, you know, this isn't like a political issue anymore. This is an issue of like, what are we going to do to rectify the situation? What is the right thing to do? And the right thing has never been aligned with one particular party or one particular group of people, but rather it be a collective good of all sorts of different, you know, people from different backgrounds and stuff. We all have to do the right thing. It's not just the people who we put in charge, but we as citizens have to do the right things, and we have to recognize these threats. The warning signs were there for years, and people just brushed it off as nonsense. Well, yesterday just proved that the nonsense can boil over into domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of entities and like threats to the government, domestic threats are very, not only are they very real, we've been seeing them occur over and over again during this administration, mm-hmm. especially, you know, Charlottesville, as we mentioned before, and, you know, the Nashville bombing that just took place on Christmas Day, not even weeks ago. Like, it felt like the other day I was on waking up Christmas Day to find out that, 40 buildings got blown up in Nashville. That doesn't really happen here. We claim that happens in countries that are halfway across the world, when in reality we need to wake up and realize that is happening here. We are slowly turning into those countries that
it's right here, like on our turf.
Exactly. We are turning into a country that the US would go and invade for, you know, the sake of democracy, but really just go in and steal valuable resources and kill people of color. You know, mm-hmm. kill people who aren't Christian, kill people who just look different. It's happening here. We've allowed these people to be entitled. They claim it's an opinion, but rather it's their way of life. It is a cult. If you are part of Cult 45, you have been brainwashed and radicalized to believe that Donald Trump is the only man who can save America, when really he's the one who's been destroying it. You thought Barack Obama was going to bring the end times, but then here comes an orange Cheeto man who is literally destroying America from the corners, all the way from east to west coast, all the way out in the Pacific and everywhere. He's been destroying this country. He put a wedge right in Washington, D.C., and yesterday somebody hit the fucking wedge. And now we're like, oh shit, now the country is like really fucking splitting at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to say it's a total lost cause. Let's just move away. Let's just run off at this point. Abandon ship. We're not there yet. I say yet because that is a situation where we could cross that bridge. And I never thought we crossed that bridge, but here we are. And the thing I really want people to get is that this is not something to take lightly. Yes, there are memes out there. Yes, it's great. You know, some of them are pretty funny. You know, it's a natural reaction to kind of make fun of a situation that you're absolutely petrified and terrified of.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're feeling scared or confused or angry or sad or pissed off because every aspect of your life has been kind of, you know, your expectations for this country has been kind of shattered a little bit. It's okay. We can build something a lot better and make it better for not just us, but for everyone else here. And that's how we're going to end it. Usually we'll say goodbye, but I think we'll just let the silence ride out on this one. So have a good day or night whenever you're listening, and stay safe.